to take your Bibles, if you would, and please, and turn with me to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. It's the fourth book from the front. Book of Numbers in chapter 13. It has long occurred to me that as a dad, my role has often been to be the scout. To be the one who goes out there and tries to figure out how life works and what is right and wrong, and then bring that knowledge back to my family. And we have a lot of young couples in our church, and you guys who are young families, I want to speak to you today as an older man to a younger man. To some of us who are in the middle of our parenting years, I want to speak to you as well, and I want to speak to those of you who maybe are granddaddies, because the reality is there's not an end to your role as being a scout. You're going to be showing those kids how to do it when you're older too. My nest is pretty much emptied out now, and I've got a grandson and I got a granddaughter on the way, and things are starting to get kind of different for me, but I still am called upon to show my kids, even at their level, how it's done when the kids launch. We're supposed to show them how it's done. And that means we've got to go out there and find the answers first. You go first. I remember that scene in the Indiana Jones thing where the guy says, you know, ooh, deadly vipers, you know, and he says, ooh, very poisonous, you go first. I'm like, that's that. You know, life is hard. And you are subject to all kinds of trauma. And the fact is that this world is really filled with landmines that will try to undo you. And what we have in the passage before us this morning is a picture that is for our edification. There is a need to go into the land, get a little idea of what's going on. God has told the people of Israel, after He's delivered them from Egyptian bondage and allowed them to get the law and the commandments, and they've heard the blessings and the cursings, and now He's led them beyond all of the giving of the law and the setting up of the tabernacle worship and so forth, and He's brought them around to the promised land. And when He got them there, they all took and pitched camp right there. Now, you have to understand, these are a bunch of slaves for all practical purposes. They don't really know how to fight. They don't know how to do battle. They're just slaves. All they've ever done is been a slave. They've been subservient. So what God is really setting before them is something that they have no clue about. How to do battle. How to do war. How to take the promised land. Now, a lot of people believe that it's a good analogy to look at crossing of the Jordan, going in and taking the promised land, as a picture, if you will, of dying and then going on over to heaven, which is the promised land in their mind. But that is not the true picture in application. Because in heaven, really, there will be no battles. We'll be home and it'll be all rest. The real picture is that we have been born again, brought out of bondage to sin, and we've been brought to the edge of decision. And the decision that's set before us is, are we going to be victorious in Christ, or are we going to be walking around, wandering in the wilderness, trying to figure out which way is up for the rest of our lives? Now, guys, I'm speaking to you right now just for a moment. All of us it applies to, but fellas, you've got to choose whether you're going to live for Christ or whether you're going to live for yourself. Whether you're going to walk in fear or you're going to walk in faith. And really, the only reason we don't walk in faith is because of fear. And we're going to see that pictured before us this morning. Would you let your eye fall to verse 1 in chapter 13? The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men who were heads of the children of Israel." Now notice right out of the gate, spying has got to take place. Go in and spy out the land. Now for them it was a physical land, it was a geographical location. Go in, spy out the land. Who does it? Heads of their families, heads of rulers in their country. Now the Bible says you're the head of your house. So in really stark fashion we can begin to see, yes, this applies to you. You're the head, you're the guy. At the point, all your family's under your authority in a very deliberate sense. And God willing, you're doing it the right way. You're leading with love. But the fact of the matter is you are the head of the home. That's what it says. And that means that you're the head of your wife and you're the head of your children. And you've got to show them how it's done. Now, I don't know about you, but there are certain things that I do that I never had a lesson for, but I knew how to do it because I watched somebody else do it. Playing tennis, for instance. I like to play tennis when I can, you know, and if everything's working and my back doesn't get hurt, and if they lighten the balls, I like to play tennis, and the only way I know how to play tennis is because I watch somebody do it. And then I ask a couple questions along the way, and I got it. Now, our kids are asking you, how do you do Christianity? How does that work? How does church work? And for the past several decades, the answer our kids have been given has been pretty bad. Oh, you do Christianity just by saying, oh, amen at the right time. You do Christianity just by going to church every so often, not really a priority. You do Christianity by just saying you believe in God. You do Christianity because you're an American. Oh, son, you're an American. You're already a Christian. It's a Christian nation. Not anymore. And it never really was. Beloved, what I'm saying is that you and I are left with the stewardship of taking children who are blank slates in regard to all of this. And you can make it look good. I remember Dr. Falwell used to say to us, if you go to a town where a Baptist name got a bad name, you go in there and give it a good name. Don't abandon the name. Give it a good name. You know what? Christianity's got a bad name. So what? Give it a good name. You be the exception. You be the rule. And you let, in your children's life, you are what it looks like. And I just want to encourage you to realize you've been chosen to go in and spy out the land. And you've been chosen to go in and spy out the land for those kids that you look at that bless your heart. They stir your strings of your soul. They're like, man, look how cute. And when you walk in from work, they're all arms and they're running across the room. And they want to give you a hug because the glory of children is their daddy. Isn't it true? You're my hero, Dad. You're the best thing in the world. You are it. You are, oh man, the sun rises and sets with you. There's the old picture of the kids sitting outside. My dad can whoop your dad. My dad's stronger than your dad. My dad makes more than your dad. My dad dresses cooler than your dad. My dad's more fashionably rumpled than your dad. It's just whatever it is the mainstay of the day. He looks at you and he says, that's my hero. And beloved, I want you to realize that it's true. This is not a game. It's not by happenstance. It's not an accident. It is by design. And God did it to help you be a man. That's why He did it. If you didn't have those children looking at you, you'd be a kid for the rest of your life. But they're looking at you now. And everything you do, everything you say, everything you love, everything you like, everything you chase, everything you value, they will do the same. They love it. They will see it. And they may not do it perfectly, and they might not do it absolutely, but you will find that they will be impacted by you. And you know, we all get indignant. We say, boy, if I saw somebody do something bad to a child, I'd shoot them. I'd kill them. Man, I'd take him. I'd take a gun. I'd kill him. They hurt a kid. I'd kill him. Folks, listen. Sometimes we hurt our own. So sometimes it's important to look in the mirror and say, what am I telling them is good? Because what is more important? This physical life or eternal life? Letting them know how to make a living or letting them know how to live? What is more important? Preparing them for eternity, showing them that God's grace is greater than all our sins because you've applied that fact and you've got back up on your feet when you've stumbled, when you've grown weary in the journey, and you've said, you know what, I need to get on my face and find God again because my joy is gone. Beloved, I'm telling you something. God has so much more for you and me. He sent these guys in to spy out the land for the whole group, and He sent you into the world to spy out the land for your family. Let your eye fall down in the passage to verse 16. The Bible says these were the names, and He just gave the names of the men, which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And one is, Hoshea means salvation. Jehoshua means Jehovah is salvation. So he kind of tweaked his name a little bit. He had already been his attendant. He was already his protege. But he was one of the 12 that were going to send in to spy out the land. Verse 17 says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward and so forth, and see the land what it is. Now that's important. See the land. There's a plan. Go this way, and what you're going to do is you're going to go see the land what it is. Now, I believe many people today don't even know what the land is. In their Christian life, they don't even know what it is. Oh yeah, we've heard, oh, it's heaven. We know about that. And you might be able to name one or two things about heaven. Oh, golden streets. Oh, there's going to be angels there. We're going to live there forever. Good things. But that's all we know. We really don't understand that heaven is not the land he's talking about. The land he's talking about is victory on earth. You have been seated with Christ in the heavenly places, the Bible says. Did you know that? You're already there. The Bible says he's given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. That's something he gave you. That's the land. You live in that neighborhood. You, a saint of God, a child of God, a joint heir with Christ. Wow. That's you. Now that's you. But do your kids know that you know what the land is? Because see, if you don't know what the land is, the reason you don't know what the land is because you've not spied it out. See, you spy out your world, but you spy out the Word, too. You go in, you read this book, you get acquainted with God's heart, you begin to know how God moves, and you begin to know how to access the blessings. I appreciate Jason this morning. I texted everybody about the Father's Day dinner this morning. And Amber came in and she said, "Man, Pastor texted me. He's cool." I said, "Yeah, well, hello." And then Jason said, I didn't say that. I thought it. No. And so Jason steps up and he says, "Well, I knew you were cool before you texted me." See, Jason's figured some things out. You know, you get on the right side of the preacher, he'll build you up in front of everybody. See, he's a good guy. But what he told me also was interesting. His job fell away that he had, and now he works for his dad. And he's not worried about losing his job, because if people get laid off, it's not going to be him. Now listen, what's the application? We work for God, our Heavenly Father. And no matter what happens in this world, He's got our back. Now if you know God like the Bible wants you to know Him, you'll know that's true. The problem is that we are so deficient in our understanding of Christ and of our Heavenly Father that we still have some kind of a storybook idea that God's got thunderbolts, He's ready to blast you. He's mad at you all the time. He's a cosmic killjoy, and He doesn't want you to have any fun. Now, if you think in your mind that that's true, then you don't know the God of the Bible. Do you know the whole calendar of the Jews was filled with feasting? Can I get a witness? He had feasts all the time! Now, what I'm trying to show you is God was all about partying and joy and blessing. He wanted His people, He wanted them lit up. So that when all the other nations said, "What's going on over there?" They say, "Well, man, they're having a party. They're having a good time." And they weren't carousing and they weren't doing the foolish things, but they were taking some time off of work. They were enjoying the fruit of their labor. They were enjoying one another and they were worshiping God. In fact, in the whole setup of their community, the centerpiece was the tabernacle. They would travel. You had three tribes on one side, three tribes on the other, three tribes on the north, three tribes on the south. They all centered around God because it was the most exciting thing. Because their desire was to become that they might honor Him. Now, they never quite got it, but God's not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He wants you to do is He wants you to have a desire in your heart that my number one desire is that you will be honored by me. I told my son Craig once some years ago, I don't even know if he remembers it, but we're driving down the road. I said, "Son, you know what scares me more than anything else?" I said that I might bring dishonor to the name of God. Greatest fear. Beloved, what I'm saying is He sent them to spy out the land to see what kind of land it is. This land is a good land. David said it this way, "You have brought me into a wide place." You know, it doesn't matter how far you run to the left or to the right, God's there. And when you know He's there and you know that it's a smile, not a frown, even when you've fallen down, He looks down and He smiles knowingly. You know, when my little grandson falls down, we kind of chuckle. We don't think, "You dummy, you ain't got legs. What is the problem with you?" We think it's so funny because he's running from one thing to the next, and sometimes we're throwing up our hands saying, "Well, who's got him now?" The other day we were having dinner and he was in the other room all alone, and I just looked around and said, "Nobody's paying attention where the kid's at." Oh well. And you know that's God. He lets you move to the left and move to the right and figure it out yourself. He lets you burn your fingers. He does. He says, listen, you did that. Yeah, you did that. You're not lost. My fellowship might be broken with you for a little while, but what you found out was the fellowship was broken. The song was gone. Your happiness and your enthusiasm and your energy, it all depleted. And you sat there in the middle of the road whining and feeling bad and wondering where this depression came from. And it came because you decided you were going to touch something, see something, do something you knew you shouldn't have done. And when you did it, it didn't taste good. It didn't feel good. Oh, maybe momentary. But the fact of the matter is, God said, I'm going to let you go there. And I'm not going to be embarrassed or surprised because I'm God. I knew you were going to go there anyway. That's the cool thing about our God. We know He's the God who knows everything. And since He knows everything, you've never shocked Him and you've never surprised Him. He knows how you're wired and He knows why you do what you do. And so you and I need to be just as compassionate as He is sometimes on one another, don't we? We see somebody fall down, we're ready to throw them over the bus. Somebody said, the Christian army is the Lord's army is the only one where we shoot our wounded, you know. We don't need to be like that. We don't need to shoot our wounded, we need to help our wounded back up. Do you know what land it is? Because if you don't, all is not lost. He has sent you to figure out what land is. He said, go figure it out and show your kids, show your family, show your husband, your wife. All of us. We need to go in there and show what the land is. Verse 17 says that you go in and spy out the land. And in verse 18, see the land, what kind of land it is. And the people that dwell therein in verse 18, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they, and there it is again, what the land is, and he says in verse 19, what the land is that they dwell in, whether it's good or bad, and what cities they dwell in, and whether it be tents or in strongholds. And what he's saying, he's not saying it matters. It really doesn't matter whether they're strongholds. It really doesn't matter whether they're strong or weak or many or few. But what he really was doing was he was sending them in at God's command to show them that everything God had said about this land was true. You see, there were going to be enemies in the land. And they were going to be formidable. And they were going to be tough. You know, what fun is it if it was easy? Really. I mean, if there was no battle, if there was no fight, if there's no victory, if there was no swords clashing. You know, God knows how you're wired, fellas. Yeah, but I'm scared. I don't want to. Oh, I have to give something up to go do that. Listen, the Bible says a soldier who's enlisted as a soldier does not entangle himself in the affairs of this world that he might please him who enlisted him. You're a soldier for Christ. You're a soldier. The Bible says take the armor of God. Why? Because there's a battle going on. And it's for you, but more importantly, because that won't motivate you. Listen, you're not going to be motivated because it's about you. And the problem is in our country today is we're all about self. We're selfish. And our selfishness says, it doesn't matter how I behave, because, you know, I can take it. I can take it. Listen, God says, what's on the line is not just you, it's your kids. Are you willing to see them perish? Oh, anybody mess with a kid, I'd kill them. I'd shoot them. Listen, we're messing with our kids. We're playing our own.